Romans 15. And I just wanted to start off with these. They've been impressed on my heart this morning. And somehow, in each of our hearts, God will weave it in, I pray. But in Romans 15, it says, "For whatsoever things," verse 4, "were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, and what I've been seeing an awful lot of is this is rapidly starting to dwindle. I see people that are very short on patience, myself included. Comfort being the best thing that we could have at times like this, because that in itself will bring about God's peace. But this word is for our patience and comfort within these scriptures, that through these scriptures we might have hope." And I'm seeing a lot of hope getting dashed lately too on plans and things that have been in the works for years with people, and it seems like everything's falling apart. So many voices out there causing us to lose our patience. So many things that are on the horizon that I feel are just pulling the rug of comfort out from underneath each and every one of us. Wondering, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Wow, what if this goes through? Keep something in there, and I'd ask you this week, go to Romans 15:4. Ask God, what are you showing me? Me, not somebody else, not utilizing it as a bludgeon for one of our own feelings or opinions. God, what are you trying to show me through your word? And I feel he wants us to do that. Matthew 17, this is an extra one for us, but Matthew 17, I believe it's in 17. Verse 5. "While he yet spake," and I like that because we've been on the topic that we serve a God who speaks. He's not deaf, he's not dumb, he's not up there uncaring, detached. We have a God that speaks, and he'll speak to each and every one of us if we open our hearts and our ears. In verse 5 it says, "While he yet spake, behold," and I like, a bright cloud. Not just a cloud, like we see storm clouds over the horizon, a bright cloud. And the word also says that man does not see the bright light behind the clouds. God, no matter how cloudy it's starting to get, how dark it's going to get, God is still shining his light, and it's going to burst through those clouds. We need to adhere to that. As believers, we no matter what comes into our ears, I'm not saying everything is bad, please. There are good things that we hear every day, but when we hear these things that rob us of our patience and of our comfort and of our hope, we need to do exactly what's being said here. "Well, that bright cloud overshadowed them." That's what's happening to us. Do we see that? Oh, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What if I do this? What if I don't do... We're inundated with it. It says, "Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And what does every translation say now? "Hear ye him." Hear him. We've said it so many times, like every one of us who have kids. Yeah, they hear us, but they're not listening. They hear you blah, 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 and yelling, "Why'd you do this? Why'd you go clean your room? Go do this. What are you crazy?" You know, we can hear tones coming into our ear gates, but are we really listening? And I feel that in its translation, that's what God is saying about Jesus. Don't just listen. Don't just hear of him. Hear him. Hear what he has to say. Hear what he has to say not only to us as a church, but to each one of us individually. What are you saying on this day, 2021, the only day I might have left in my earthly existence? And I think we're in that time frame right now that we really need to get into this word. See, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. And the things that he says to us, I feel whether we like them or not, or whether they fit somewhere into our ultimate goal plan, God has got that plan for each one of us if we'll listen and if we'll be willing enough to obey. We don't always obey, but if we're willing enough, if I come, you know, help me, Lord. Help me in whatever it might be, in my belief of you, your existence, in my belief of you getting me through this health crisis, in my belief of you getting me through this financial crisis. Because if he can't, then what are we worshiping? We're worshiping a God that's above all gods. We're worshiping a God who not only loves us, as we're going to hear again, as we did, he created each and every one of us. We are his workmanship. He loves us. He loves us. How many times can I say it? And for those of us who might have fears or doubt, there is nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. God loves us. And today, that's what I hope I can present, what he's been showing me in my time with him, just sitting, reading, trying to hear, Lord, what are you saying to Doug first? What can I bring to the body today? I'm Doug, okay? Yes, thank you for those of you who call me Pastor Doug. It's not a place of, it's a place that God somehow, some way in his ultimate knowledge said, this is what I want, Craig. I want you for a pastor. I want you for an elder. I want you for one of my children. He has a plan, but I'm just Doug. I struggle. I fight. I put on my stuff just like everybody else every day. We're either going to band together in this, stand together, pray together, hope together, and work through this, reminding each other that we serve a God who speaks. And he's going to speak to us if we listen, if we hear him, if we make sure what's coming is just not now. The Broncos are winning. It's going to end today, okay? That ought to wake us up. That's what we care about. What is God saying? What is God saying to us today? So I hope in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll get to that. And walk out of here, I feel, with something rich. Some golden nugget, if you would, that I could wrap my hand around and understand. Oh, that's beautiful. How am I supposed to look at the turn around if you're in the front? Oh, it's gone. That was a beautiful picture of lakes and mountains and those mountains. Diane used to like this song, "As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Pants After You." And it goes with Corrie Ten Boom's "Hinds Feet on High Places," where God will jump and leap over mountains to get to you and I. Why? Because he loves us. I mean, we need to hear this stuff in these days that we're in, which are the last days, beyond anything else. So as we're looking here in Hebrews, the author is presenting. He will be presenting. I won't get to four today, I'm sure. But he's presenting that Jesus Christ, his son, as we've seen, God spoke in times past through prophets, through visions, through dreams. He spoke to man's human conscience, what was in it, you know, just all these different ways. Wasn't enough for us, though, was it? You know, oh, that we would see Jesus. Man, I wish that we would cry that every day. And like Jeremiah, that we would see him, Isaiah, high and lifted up, that his train, his glory would fill any room that we're ever in. But we're reading, we're trying to learn about this God who spoke way back from the very beginning. Genesis 1, turn to that. He spoke everything into existence, except when it came to you and I, he made us, formed us. Poema in the Greek. He made us. We're his love poem. Now, since man, just show us one more sign, right? And then we'll believe. And then you get, well, just one more. And that went on through the ages. Because of that, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by his son. And last week, I tried to hammer home that point. What is he speaking? Well, he's speaking an awful lot of doctrinal theology, isn't he? We have institutes that are set up and have been operating digging into the depths of the theology and doctrine that their side wants to present or our side wants to present. What God is saying to mankind is, I love you. I love you. After we understand that this is a God not only who is love, a God of love, and a God who loves us, only then, I feel, can we dig those depths of the gems and the jewels that are in his word. Only when we understand that he loves us as a baby. How many of you played airplane with your child when you don't want to eat? Right? Oh, here it comes, get ready. And they open their mouth. That's how God is with us. We don't want to eat all the time this, right? We don't want to eat this all the time. Of course, there's other things to do. And when I do it, I start to fall asleep at night. Or I don't really have the time, so I buy the one-minute Bible down at the Christian bookstore and hope that might get me through. God is sitting there saying, I got something for you. Here it comes, Tommy. Open up. He doesn't smack it in your ear. No, he puts it in, just like every one of us that have children. God wants us to hear his son, Jesus. Why? Because as the writer of Hebrews is showing us that not only does this God speak through his son Jesus, that this Jesus is a supreme being over everything ever created. We're going to get into chapter one is angels. He's better than the angels. He's higher than the angels. He has a divinity that goes beyond that. Why? Because he's God. And we need to understand that. Sometimes it gets us confused. Well, we got God and we have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit, but is Jesus really God? Yes, he is. Well, he never said that. Yes, he did. Hear him. Hear him in here. Why do you think the Jewish religion tried to, you know, they did crucify. They didn't want to hear. He just said that he was God. They knew what he was saying. Why don't we? Because I feel we're hearing, but we're not listening. So in part B and C of 2, not only is he telling us that Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us today, he's going to tell us that he's above these angels. Angels, boy, we have a misconception, and maybe next week I'll get to that. We see these angelic beings with generally their arms are out, their head is cocked, right? There's a halo on them. They have flowing, like my little great-granddaughter, Chevy, always wears these, what do they call that, chiffon or lace dresses, and she walks around just so. And I sit there and I think that's not a biblical angel whatsoever. And angels were revered. They held a high point in Jewish faith and religion. They spoke, they appeared through the whole Old Testament, through the New Testament. Look at some of the Old Testament angels like the ones we see in Ezekiel. These are created beings. They're not beautiful little ladies, most of them, or fat little babies with butts hanging out and chubby cheeks like that. These were things with eyes all over them. They were things that appeared like a wheel within a wheel. These were things that had 6, 7 wings. They had eyes. They had straight legs like a man. But they had all these things would drop us to the floor unless they took the power given to them to appear in the form of something that we could receive. So as the Word of God is showing us, this God that we say that we worship, this Jesus who we say we've given our hearts to, this Jesus, not another Jesus, is above all of these created things that we think we know about. So he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son in verse 2. This is the important part I feel we need to get before we move on. This Son, this Jesus, who is speaking today, the Word of God says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. God appointed Jesus the heir of what? Only those who believe. He appointed him the heir of all things, the inheritor of everything that ever was. There's an importance that goes along with that, because as some of you might know, an inheritance that is given through a family, some people might get kind of gypped out of an inheritance. But it doesn't matter, because the heir is the one in control of it, the ultimate end. Everyone, believers, unbelievers, we're going to see, everything that ever was created, he is the heir of all of that. That done through his sovereignty and his divinity. Angels. Please start looking into it this week. You know, they delivered the law in the book of Acts. I think it's 7. We're told that. We're told in Galatians. We're told through Hebrews. We're told from the very beginning of the word what these angels did. But Jesus Christ did much more. Because anything they did at his bidding. So I'm trying to build, as I feel the author is trying to do too, the supremacy, the awesomeness of the God that we serve, who decided to leave his throne in glory and come down and live within a trash can like this, Doug Gibney. That's the God who loves me. He could have done anything he wanted. And because he was obedient, because he was willing, God made him the heir of all things. And I looked at that and I thought, the heir of all things. Not only the created universe. And I know this runs contrary to some commentators, some theologians. He's the heir of everything. But I sat at one point pretty quiet, and I kept getting this feeling that it's us too. We can talk about that later if we need to. But if he's the heir of all things, he's the heir of me. He's the heir of you if you're in Christ. And that's an inheritance. Now, we look at inheritance as a nice car, a nice house, the money that grandpa might have worked all of his life to save. Boy, hell, what are we going to do with that? Put your name in. I'm saying, I'm his inheritance. That's what he's inheriting. He's inheriting Doug Gibney. That should take us to a point of, we got to be careful, because Christianity, they said, well, you know, we shouldn't have any of this self-esteem. My self-esteem is the fact that Christ loves me. My self-esteem now, and I hope it will continue over these days, I'm his inheritance. He can't wait to spend time with me. Just like if you're on the brink of an inheritance, you're already probably, like most of us, figure, well, I'm going to give, won't give all that to the church, but I'll give this, and I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to pay off this credit card and that credit. He's already making plans to spend time with us, because we're his inheritance. And he said that at the Last Supper today, we're going to be going. He said, I have desired with great desire to have this meal with you. You. That's being the heir of all things. And to look at it this week, it's you and I. We are his inheritance. Let that one set in, if you would. What was Reuben's old favorite one day preaching up? He said, I can't wrap my head around it. Do you remember anybody were here for that one? Let that sit in. That not only we can understand how he's going to inherit the whole world, do what he wants with it, but we're right there in that will of God. That you can put your name in there, that you are in that. Romans 8, put something in Hebrews. Romans 8 states that. We'll look at Romans 8:17. It states that, but not as clearly, if we would, that I am his inheritance. So Romans 8:17, if you're there. You know, and I'll back up even a little bit. Let's go to 15, because things are happening right now. We think maybe God does what I just did this week, the doubt I had, the words I spoke, the way I behaved, and, you know, not forgiving, whatever you might put in there. We feel like God doesn't love us anymore, or, boy, I just fell from grace, or whatever it might be. And in 15, Paul makes a statement for you, and this is if we're in Christ, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's that fear of, does he really love me? Is heaven real? Are we going to be going there? He hasn't given us that spirit of fear or that spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. My little kids call me Poppy. Do you think God will let me call him Poppy one day when I jump up on his lap and say I'm finally home? Wow. What type? Wrap your head around that one, besides the inheritance. And we're going to share the inheritance with Daddy. That's what's even better. Most of the times, Daddy has to pass. Mama has to pass. Auntie, uncle, grandma, but he's going to spend it with us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what? I've said this and I'll say it again. If you're worried about maybe, you know, doing this wrong or doing that wrong, or you're feeling like maybe I stepped over the line, that's the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, to your mind. He's in there saying, I love you. I love you. You're my child. Wow. And if heirs in 17, and this was the inheritance part I wanted to get to, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. That's our inheritance. It's coming. I don't care what happens on the political scene, any of this right now. Not that I don't care, but please, we have to look forward. We have more ahead of us, I've said this before, than we have had behind us, no matter what our ages are. Heirs of God, joint heirs, heirs with Jesus, were not only his inheritance, but here is the Creator God who is willing to share everything he owns with me. Have you thought about that much? How many friends, you know, anybody ever just feel like, wow, you know, my dad said, and Eileen, if you're here, you'll attest to it. My sister's probably watching. Dad used to say, I, John Gibney, being of sound body and a strong mind, spent my money when I was young. Period. That's what Dad did. God, Jesus, they're just waiting to share this inheritance with you and I. What is that going to be? I don't think, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what he's preparing, but he is preparing, getting ready this inheritance for all of us, and the Creator of the universe wants to share it with us. The Word of God says that he measures the span of the universe in his hand. But he's not going, oh, I could crush you like this. Look, look how little you are. He's saying, I want to share this with you. Everything I got, you and I are going to enjoy for eternity. Wow. 1 Peter 1:4. Blessed be in 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really, we ought to be saying thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've got ahead. Maybe I'm not seeing it right now, but I'm going to see that because I trust you, because I believe in you. Thank you, God. Blessed. That's what Peter is yelling at. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Begotten. Same word about his begotten son. Didn't create us as far as, you know, an afterthought or anything. This is important. Has begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's eternity. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to what? To an inheritance. Incorruptible. It's not going to be taken away by capital gains. It's not going to be taken away by some secondary, third, fourth, taxing that might come to these funds that we have in our world today. But this is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Well, it's not worth what it used to be worth back when this was written. No, it's worth more, because once he was resurrected and went to heaven, we're going to read in a minute, he went to prepare. He's been building heaven, this is my weird kind of thing. He's been building something for each one of us for 2,000 years. What's that going to be like? Keith Green said, man, that's like living in a garbage can right now compared to what he's got. So this is an inheritance that it's undefiled. It can't be taken away. It's not going to fade. Reserved in heaven for, King James says, you, but it also says in some of your other translations, us, the church, the bride of Christ, the ones that he loves, that he's been trying to speak this for who knows how long. What do we inherit? I started asking him this week. So John 17, turn to John 17. I was just going to leave these to have us look them up. We've got the table to go to today. But just a few of the things. John 17, verse 22. This is Jesus' prayer. This is a prayer that he's prayed to his Father for each and every one of us. I'd say hear him in this, what he's praying for you and I. But in John 17, 22, it says, "In the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." We inherit his glory, not only now as we're walking around, but we're going to inherit that glory when we get up there. What is your body, my body, the body of those that have suffered and struggled, what are they going to look like? You know, the lame are going to be able to run and leap. The blind are going to be able to see. The deaf are going to be able to hear. The ones without hope are going to be singing joyfully, worshiping our Lord. This is what I'm getting. I got to put that down on a piece of paper with Pat this afternoon and see how we're going to split this up with our kids now. Because that's what we should be doing. What's an inheritance for? Is it meant to put away someplace where mold and rot and rust get to it? Or buy myself something that I really don't need? It's to give. God gives us wealth to see what we're going to do with wealth so that we might be able to be trusted to have a little bit more. His glory. I thought about his riches. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We get his riches. How rich is God? We used to, he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. But we just say it like that. We get his riches according to his word that he speaks to us through his son. So 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you? Do I? If not, start looking at that grace today. Don't look at what we don't have. Let's look at what we do have. We've got Jesus. "That though he was rich," he owned everything, right? He created everything. "Yet for your sake," Doug, "he became poor. That through his poverty, we might be rich." We get whatever he's got. We're going to share in that because, remember, we just read, we're co-heirs. We get a portion of that. We get part of that. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but it's going to be in heaven. It might not be here for us today. Well, why is my life like this? You know, well, I can't really answer that, but in heaven, it's not going to be like this. And he's got an inheritance that's going to be glory, riches, loved ones that have gone before us, joined together, seas of humanity, worshiping, singing. And if you have a hard time singing any worship songs now, I'd venture to say you better start practicing in the shower tomorrow, because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity, worshiping him, either verbally, word, singing songs, dancing. We will dance a street set of golden. Phew. This is our inheritance. This is amazing grace. Ephesians 1:18. This just doesn't come natural to man. It doesn't come natural to me. Just that kind of a thought pattern all day. That God loves me so much. God can't wait to be with me. God is speaking through Jesus to me to try to tell me right now, don't give up, Doug. Don't let this situation or this circumstance that you're in, don't let it crush you. Don't let it knock you off the path. I've got something better. And he's showing us, he's speaking to us, if we'll hear him, what he's got for us. Glory, riches, heaven. Heaven, what is heaven like? What is it like? I'm not sure. But it's got to be better than this for sure. So Ephesians 1:18, and let me back up to 17. This prayer is what each one of us need, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For the acknowledgement, number one, is really the force of that, that you and I would acknowledge this supreme being, God, who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to, as we believe it, he'll move us into that understanding. But 18, we see so darkly now, don't we, is what the word says. We see through a glass darkly. And in 18, Paul goes on to tell these Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding, that's our heart, being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Underline that one. Not the riches of his glory. Oh, man, he's got everything. I wonder what I'm getting. I'm getting a pup tent way out in the back right near where the Gentile dogs are. I'm going to be on the gate on this side. That's what some people think. That right there, and Lauren, you've got verbiage, and so does Pete more than me, but the prayer is that our hearts might be open to what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Why does it say in the saints? That's in us. That's in us. That's what God's trying to speak. I had this guy, Craig, and I knew him way back 40 years ago, that he said, God, I was saved for maybe a month, and this guy said, God is doing cartwheels over you, Doug. You know, and then I really didn't have much self-esteem, and I thought he's doing those to get away from me, probably, just, you know, backflips. No, he's doing cartwheels over you and I because he's going to spend eternity in this kind of glory. Am I excited? Yeah. I haven't been excited in a couple of years, you know. I'm starting to get pretty revved up that, we're his inheritance. And he's happy about me. No matter how bummed out I am about myself, no matter how I feel about Doug Gibney, no matter how I sit there some nights and lay awake and say, I'm such a failure. I'm no pastor. I ought to be out there banging on doors and marching through the town. That's what the big boys do in California. No. God's got me here. If he wanted me in California or someplace, he'd have me and you there. He's got us here in Netherlands to try to get us quiet and still and say, here I am. Use me. Here I am. I hear what you're saying. Help me to move into that. We need to have the eyes of our understanding open that we might see that inheritance is you and me. Well, we've got... Go back to Hebrews, if you would. I'm going to continue this next week. We all tune into the sequels and the to be continues on TV, don't we? That's why series are series, not just a one time. We're going to look at this next part of verse 2, that this Jesus Christ, who we just heard all this about, he also made the worlds. The worlds. Oh, does that mean that there's other inhabited planets? No, it's not what it's saying there. It means he's just made, he's controlled, he's laid out the ages down from the beginning. The worlds are the atmospheric heavens. You know, we have three heavens, the ones where God exists, and then there's the upper atmosphere, and then this ground here. He made every one of those atmospheric heavens. He made the stellar heavens, the stars that we see out there. He just spoke those. Remember in Genesis? He threw those out. This is the God that we serve, but yet he thinks about me. And he thinks about me enough that he wants to share his inheritance with me. I could see other people. Betty Mosh. That was Betty Mosh's seat. I could see that. We can all name one saint, can't we, that would be deserving of that or have earned it, but it's you and I. And he made these worlds, not only the atmospheric heavens, not only the stellar heavens. He made the earth that we now sit on and spin out of control. He made human beings to inhabit that, you and I. And he created this heaven that is the inheritance. And I was going to end, but I have to put in, turn to John 14, if you would. So next week we're going to see that everything, both spiritual and physical, this God who speaks to us through his Son, to wrap it up, speaking, I love you, speaking, you have an inheritance coming. You might as well have the will in your file cabinet drawer right now with your name on it as the executor and the heir apparent of that situation. Everything, both spiritual and physical, he made. And I think we could see that in John 1 something. But what I wanted to read was, what have we got? What have we got in this Jesus today as so much is being worried about, taken away from us, freedoms, liberties? Listen to what Jesus said, because God said he speaks through his Son. So I went to this one the other night, and it had more force to me than I feel it ever has. Let not your heart be troubled. And that word in the Greek also means stirred and agitated. I'm going to invest in bringing back the foam brick. Does anybody want to invest with me? Remember that you could throw it at your TV when you got stirred or agitated, but do no damage to this Babylonian idiot box. Don't let your heart be troubled, stirred up, agitated, depressed to a point of feeling we have no hope. I can't make it another day. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. So even if I only have a pup tent waiting for me, I think it's going to be, remember the old wall tents, Ray, that we used to hunt in? They got stoves in them and panels in the middle. So guys who snored, you put way over on this end. And you had a dining area in the middle with a little fold out. Even if I have a pup tent, it's going to be the best one that Cabela's could never get. Wow. 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for you. For you, Katie. For you, Seth. Tommy. For you. What kind? I've been working on things for 40 years at the ranch, and they're still in a pile behind the barn. He's not got a pile like that. He's building something that's unbelievable, and he's working on it every day, if there's a day up there, you know. He's working on that for you and I, putting that together. And I think the only problem is, what kind of wood am I sending him to build? What am I giving him that he's got materials? Remember, wood, hay, stubble, precious. What am I sending up to this inheritance? What am I planning so that when I get there that day, I can see that he's up there preparing a place for me? And if that wasn't true, he would have told you and I. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming. He's coming shortly. I've said it twice today already to people. Chuck Smith, 20 years ago, used to say, if God doesn't return today, he's missing a perfect opportunity. He said that tongue in cheek. But there have never been so many props that have been put out on the stage before the final curtain opens up. And I think he's ready to open it up pretty soon. I will come again. He's coming again. That's a sermon in itself. Is Jesus actually going to come? Yes, for the rapture, but how about the day I pass? How about our loved ones that went? Does that mean he came and ushered them into this inheritance? Until he tells me different, I'm going to believe that. Because he didn't say, I'm going to send to somebody else. I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send somebody that you might know. He says, I'm coming. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know, in the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, the famous one that we know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, period, no man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to this inheritance, is to be in the family. And that's by giving our hearts to Jesus Christ. He says to Thomas, if you had known me, walking around, if you'd known me, if you'd really taken the time to understand who I am, what I'm saying, why I'm here, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and you've seen him. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient. That's what we say. You know, oh, if I see God, then I believe. No. See, it goes believe, then understand. It's not understand God, who he is and everything, because he never started that in his autobiography. He just said God. And that's what Paul says in Hebrews. He doesn't try to defend him or anything else. He just speaks it. So we look here and what Jesus is saying to Philip. Have I been with you so long, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? Jesus is God. We're going to get to a point where we'll try to understand that a little bit more in the understanding of the Trinity. And we're going to see that he not only speaks this love to us, he's got plans of an inheritance for us. That these worlds, these creations of his, we're going to enjoy them with him. And I want to get to the pearl of great price and the hidden treasure, because that's who you are in God's eyes. You're the treasure. I'm the treasure. It's not something he found and he liked the field so much. I'm getting into next week, I guess. But he found the treasure, and that treasure was Jerry Rippey. Let's just throw that out. Oh, but I'm going to buy that. I'm going to give everything I got to buy that treasure right there. There was another guy who went through a field and found himself a pearl. Pearls. You know how pearls are made? Spit of the oyster messing around with a little grain of sand. That's annoying and agitating. It's not like, oh, I'm going to make a pearl today. I'm going to be on earrings. No, it's a thing that got in that oyster, and it's irritating, and they put it around, and it's a pearl. But the pearl of great price is also you and I. He gave everything that he had, everything to buy us, to purchase us. So if we can get a slight understanding of that today, I pray we can all go this week through whatever's going to come, and understand, it's okay. I'm getting out of this health situation. I'm getting out of this debt situation. I'm getting out of this place where I am right now, because my God said I am, and it's going to happen. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love towards us, which I have to admit, I don't fully understand. What kind of love could this be? So, Father God, this week, just help us to hear you. Help us to get still enough that we can just hear those whispers that you're trying to get into each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to go to the table. And again, it's a time that Jesus is desiring to be with us. It's a time that he wants us, as I've said, every one of these. It's a time to remember him. Not a time to remember how much I messed up and did all that. Yes, ask forgiveness. But when we go and take the elements, remember him. So if there's any thought going through our head during the elements today, show me a glimpse of what you have for me, Lord. See, because God still speaks through visions, doesn't he? God still speaks through other people. He speaks through his scripture. I feel he'll do that to us. And that, I hope, will enlighten each and every one of our hearts, mine included. So Craig, would you, or Tom, whose turn is it?